the downfall of Snapchat. 10-second video to never be seen again. But at the rate it's going, maybe this app won't ever be used again.
Have you ever felt?
Are you listening?
You're listening to the People in Tech Podcast, a technology show that's made for the people. Join the conversation with your host, Caleb King.
What's up, Day One listeners? Thank you again for tuning in to another great episode of the People in Tech Podcast. Today, we have an awesome topic ahead where I'm actually going to give you my real 100% authentic opinion on the decline of Snapchat. Now, for all of you who've been with us since the jump, you know I've never been a big fan of Snapchat, never been a big fan of Snap Inc., which is the parent company of the famous social media app Snapchat. And I've never really shared with anybody why I'm not a fan of Snapchat. And today, I just felt it would be a great opportunity to give you my opinion from an IT perspective, as well as what's going on with the company and why I think they are in a situation they're currently in today. It's going to be a fun episode. We got a lot ahead to dive deep in, but let's get into it.
Hip hop, the golden era.
I don't call it a comeback. I've been here for years. I'm rocking my peers, putting something in fear. It's making the tears rain down like a monsoon. Listen to the bass go boom, explosion. Overpowering, I'm over competition. I'm cowering, back in shock. When I drop these lyrics that'll make you call the cops. Don't you dare stare. You better move. Don't ever compare me to the rest that'll all get sliced and diced. Competition's paying the price. I'm gonna knock you out.
I'm gonna knock you out. Mama's gonna knock you out. Come on. Thank you, DJ Side Hustle, keeping a podcast hip, urban, and cool. All right, Day One listeners, you came here to hear me talk shit about Snapchat, and we will go over my bullet points that I drafted up. But before we even get to that, you know, I want to talk about usefulness and how useful Snapchat is. And actually brought me back to a memory of mine. Now, I might be dating myself a little bit here, but back in the day, 2002, dot-com era, everybody buying domains just because they thought they were going to get rich, there was an app called LiveJournal. Now, LiveJournal was like social media it is today, an area where you can post and publish content. But what made LiveJournal so cool for millennials who were 12 and 13 at the time, it was a escape from the internet, escape from reality, escape into what I like to call nowhere, where somebody could put up a post, speak their mind, speak their opinions. But back in 2002, you weren't really worried about what Becky said on LiveJournal, or you weren't aware of somebody changing a picture. Like, it wasn't like that. Like, you almost went there because it was a void, it was abyss. You know, it was a nowhereness. Now, one of the downfalls with LiveJournal was how useful it was. Because it was an escape from reality, it wasn't super useful. It was just super cool. It was what kids used to play with. And it's funny because when it first came out, it was hot. It was a new hotness. Everybody wanted to have a LiveJournal. And the cool thing was you were interacting with strangers, but you're finding out strangers had similar things that, like, you had, you know, dramas going on, people posting passive-aggressive posts, but they were more interesting because they weren't you. They were somebody you didn't know, but you could relate to. It was somebody you've never met, a complete stranger. But because of that void, because of that abyss, it was rewarding and entertaining, and it killed a lot of time. It pretty much allowed you to log online and not accomplish anything, but still be entertained. Fast forward a few years, LiveJournal became this literally a place of nowhere where people would post knowing not a lot of people go to it anymore because the app was losing attention. It wasn't being well maintained. There were no new features, no new users, and on and on and on. Snapchat, to me, is kind of like the new LiveJournal. Now, Remember, when Snapchat came out, it was all about one key feature. When you send photos, they disappear. And remember, back in 2011, that was so unique and so cool that, of course, millennials thought that was the new hotness. That was the app you needed to download. And remember, let's give you, paint you a picture here. 2011, Instagram, I think, was still its own company. Facebook was still rising as the top social media platform. Twitter, I think, recently IPO'd around that time. Like, it was, you know, 2019, 2011, a lot had changed. And Snapchat, to me, was kind of like the pitch as the video social media. Facebook was the king of social media because they already beat out MySpace. Twitter was like good at breaking news. LinkedIn was like the professional Facebook. Instagram was for photos, so Snapchat was for videos. Now, I know I initially said it was all about sending photos and them disappearing, but I didn't catch on to Snapchat until somebody showed me a quick video of some girl doing something not suitable for work, and I was like, oh, I didn't catch it. Can you play it again? They're like, no, that's it. 10 seconds, you saw it, the second you open it, it's gone. And I'm like, oh, I guess that is kind of cool, because on other platforms, everything's permanent. Anytime you update a profile picture, it's like permanent. Anytime you added a picture. Breaking up with somebody back in 2010 or 11, from a social media standpoint, was a pain, because you had to go in and untag, delete, remove any posts, and who knows, if you were dating for years, like it wasn't easy. You had that digital footprint, regardless of whether you wanted to or not. But this is one of my problems with Snapchat. See, when I first heard about it, I was single, I was in my early 20s, I was just getting out of college, about to become a quote-unquote adult, and Snapchat was really cool because I understood what it was solving. It was kind of like the hip social media app. It was kind of, because, you know, all these other companies are established, and Snapchat was kind of like, no, you can still do a cool startup and make it social media based. You know, fast forward to 2019, though, and things have completely changed. You know, now Snapchat, to me, is a company that doesn't have its identity. It's a company that's trying to do 100 different things, and it's not good at one of them anymore. And I think what got it going, what made it so popular, the company never really innovated with that aspect of it. What actually ended up happening, they, you know, went the typical tech route, became a tech company, then became Snap Inc., and then IPO'd. And once you IPO, then it's really about driving results and making money. I remember when they were about to IPO, like, their valuation was out of this roof. And now you look at them, and I think there's, when they IPO, they're around $20 to $25. Don't quote me, but around there. And fast forward in 2019, they're like $6, $7. And a lot has changed. And I think what's really happened with them is they've lost focus of their customer. They've lost focus of what's important, which is being cool and being unique. And, you know, what made Snapchat so successful in the beginning are things that are hard to capture. But I will say, and this is why I've never really been a big fan of them, is it seems like once they started putting their eyes on a prize, which was making more money, the quality, the design, the usefulness of the app all went out the door. And what we've gotten over the past few years is a plethora of a lot of different things Snapchat does, but doesn't do any of them very, very well. And that's what I'm going to be diving into in detail. I've created a little list of things that bother the crap out of me that Snapchat doesn't do very well. And we're going to go into detail on that list. But first, we need to hear from our sponsors. Hey, Day One listener, thank you so much for supporting me and the People in Tech podcast. But just in case you're not getting your tech needs fulfilled, we have another great podcast we want you to check out. Sharon, tell them what we're talking about.
Sure, Caleb. You should check out Techathlon. It is a tech news podcast with a twist. A weekly podcast that catches you up on the latest tech news through games, trivia, and, usually, friendly competitions. Each episode starts with a Techathlon Decathlon. featuring 10 questions on the top tech news following a rotating roster of puzzles, quizzes, and winner-take-all debates. Subscribe now to the Techathlon, Techathlon, podcast on Spotify. You can also learn more at popsk.com.
Now, day one listeners, you've been wanting to hear my thoughts and opinions on why I'm not a fan of Snapchat. You've heard my philosophy, and it's come down to maturity. When I was younger, I thought Snapchat was kind of cool. As I've gotten older, I just haven't seen the point of it. But I did put together a list of everything wrong that Snapchat is doing according to millennials. And me being a millennial myself, I felt I was perfect to do this episode because these are things I've called out myself. And let's go through my list. Number one being the Snapchat app design. When Snapchat came out, the design was geared to let users send photos and videos with time limit associated to it. But fast forward to 2019, and the app still lets you send photos and videos, but its list of features now extend to instant messaging, video calls, phone calls, photo editing, filters, Bitmoji stickers, a live feed of your friend's location, hashtag creepy, curated content from entertainment brands and superstars, trophies, a breaking world news section, like pretty much everything a social media platform can have, they have it. And as you can imagine, it would be difficult to design an app that allows you to easily navigate between all these features. However, Snapchat doesn't even try. Yes, a little hate rate is in my voice. But they don't really try, and we saw they rolled out a design, and people not only hated it, they sparked a revolt. Like, people were, like, calling to boycott Snapchat. And that blew my mind, because I was like, wow, what's going on? And people were like, the app is difficult to navigate. You know, they don't give you any explanation, labels, logic. Like, they just assume you're a millennial, and you're tech savvy, and you'll be able to navigate and how to figure out how it works. You know, there's even some, like, cryptic symbols. And people till this day who I know are Snapchat, like, users, like, daily users, they don't know what some of them mean. And I've always thought that was weird. The design itself, it's like they're trying to do too many things at once. Second thing on my list is Snapchat's serious safety and security flaws. You guys know I'm getting my PhD in cybersecurity. You knew I was going to talk about the security flaws with Snapchat. Now, I'm not talking about their cybersecurity practices within the company. I'm just talking about the app itself. You know, the service doesn't care about your safety. And that's a big problem with Snapchat. From its very beginning, Snapchat encouraged a culture of no consequences, with a 10-second limit on photos, after which they theoretically disappeared forever, right? And while the internet is rarely a nice place, Snapchat quickly became a source of harassment and bullying due to perceived lack of consequences. Like I was saying earlier, when it was pitched to me, it was all about, hey, girls are sending you not suitable for work photos. And I was like, cool. But imagine what bullies are sending. Imagine what people are, other ways people can be using something where it's like, oh, the picture is gone. Like, somebody could be giving you threats and you can't even prove it because the pictures go away. You know, screenshots of, you know, compromising photos, cruel anonymous messages, or stalking someone based on their easily accessible location information on the Snap Map, which, again, Snap Map, creepy. If you don't know what I'm talking about, Snapchat has a map where you can literally see where your friends are, and they are represented by their Bitmoji. It actually got to the point where, like, I saw people, and they were like, oh, yeah, I'm in LA. No, you're not. You're at home. What? How do you know that? Like, it's crazy, because, like, it sense of security, sense of privacy, all thrown out the window. You know? And again, like, these features, these additional features, they don't make up the majority of Snapchat interactions, but they're too common to ignore. You know, if you're an active Snapchat user, here are the best ways to stay safe. Enable ghost mode on the Snap Map so that no one has access to your exact GPS coordinates. change your settings so that only my friends can contact you and view your story, or be very cautious about what you post. And my third tip, report and block any users that make you feel unsafe or uncomfortable. I highlight these points because when it talks about safety and security, you know, you have to think of, you know, there's so many use cases. Like for me, I'm posting pics, and if you want to know where my location is, like, cool. You're probably not going to come over and take money from me because, one, I have no money, and two, you got nothing to take from me. But let's say you're a beautiful model or a very pretty girl or just somebody attractive in general. There are some creepy people out there, and if they know your location, if they follow you on Snapchat and they see you live a certain place and they know exactly how to find where you live, like, that is some creepy stuff. And remember, this was an app geared toward kids, for millennials, and I feel like 20s and 30-somethings grabbed onto it to see how they can make money off of this. But remember, the initial audience was a much younger audience compared to other social media platforms. But because of the younger audience, there's a different level of maturity. And this is the fact that I am, and I'm just going to give you a real-world example. You can be a beautiful 18-year-old girl, and you can be sending not suitable for work pictures and videos to whoever is following you. You're following. Maybe that's how you're becoming an influencer, and you're just doing, like, very, you know, sexy-type videos. Well, if you have SnapMap on, one of these creepers can find out where you live and be knocking on your door. And who knows where it goes from after that. And that is just wrong to me. And, like, to me, when they rolled out these features, I was like, these aren't features. These are setups. That's how I viewed it. That's why, again, these are only my first two bullet points. We got more, guys. Let's dive. Let's dive into it. All right, let's see what we have on our list. Ah, yes. The point number three, Snapchat's discovery page doesn't make sense. So let me paint you a picture. Do you like following political activism across the globe? Then you love hearing about the Kardashians' most recent scandal. Or want to watch a live stream of baby koalas? You know what? You must also want to take a quick quiz to see what your favorite song says about your personality, don't you? And while you're at it, how about some late night musing from a YouTube celebrity you never even heard of before? Welcome to Snapchat Discovery Page, a miscellaneous collection of branded content, blatant advertisements, and bored celebrity monologuing to their followers. Sure, you can always press and hold on a Discover story to either subscribe to an account or see less like this. However, both options merely tweak the algorithm of the Discover feed, making it slightly more or less likely that you'll see content like this in the stories you selected. However, neither option completely removes nor consistently features your chosen content. And that, to me, was a sign that they just didn't, they weren't considering the users anymore. You know, one of the things I love about Instagram is the discovery option. And I'll give you a perfect example. When I started doing CrossFit and Olympic weightlifting, I was kind of curious to see, like, how CrossFitters trained, how they ate, and how Olympic weightlifting, like, their technique. You literally type in weightlifting and Instagram, and you get all things weightlifting related. If you go to the Discover page, it starts looking at what you currently follow, and it creates a, for the most part, accurate representation of what you like to follow. But Snap's discovery was like, hey, we're calling it discovery, but it's just a hodgepodge of things that aren't even related to you. And to me, when you see something like that come from Snapchat, you hear tech people say, well, they're not Google, they're not Netflix, they're not like your credit card company. You know, they only have some information to curate a list for. But I think that's wrong. I think they have a lot of information on you, but it was just poorly executed. But that's my personal opinion. Let's go to point number four. And ooh, this one hurts because, I mean, we all saw it coming, but like I said earlier, they came out with one feature and now they do 100 things and you don't even know what they're good at anymore. Point number four, Snapchat is no longer unique. You know, it grew its initial audience by being a fun, original app with a hashtag no filter approach to sharing your life to your friends online. Now, it's just like every other social media app. Instant messaging, advertisement, social pressure, showcase yourself, show me your booty, show me your abs, show me your body, show me how much money you have, show me your cars. Like, it got really, really good at the whole you send and it disappears. And then it said, we're good at that, let's get good at 100 other things, and got bad at what it got really good at. So instead of continuing to innovate, you know, Snapchat has stayed relatively stagnant while other platforms have blatantly incorporated its key features. Now, for those of you who aren't aware, again, I'm a huge Instagram person. There was a time where Facebook was looking to buy Snapchat, and the CEO of Snapchat said no, because he was like, no, we can take them on. And that's another thing about Snapchat. The reason I never was a fan of it, because I never, the space that it was entering, the competition, like, we're not, like, to me, I looked at Snapchat like the kid off the freshman high school team going up against the pros and NBA, NFL, NHL, whatever. Now, there's a chance you could be a superstar and you could blow up and you could be able to sit at the same table as these other big tech companies, but then you also have to compete with them. And once Snapchat said no to Facebook, Facebook was like, well, we're going to put more time and money and effort into Instagram. And now, fast forward to 2019, you know, you can send disappearing messages via WhatsApp status. You can share vlogs on YouTube. You can post a filtered photo to your Instagram story, share a live video over Periscope, send instant messages over literally any other social media app. The competition is starting to catch up with Snapchat, and it shows. Now, according to TechCrunch, Instagram stories had almost twice as many daily active users as Snapchat. And in addition, Recode, when they did the app's debut of their IPO, you know, it did not lead to more people signing up. You know, when they IPO'd, a lot of people were already skeptic of the company. Which leads into my fifth point. Snapchat's history of questionable decisions. Now, I'm a person. I make mistakes. All companies make mistakes. And in today's internet culture, it's hard to avoid being called out publicly for these kind of errors. But few companies make quite as many controversial decisions as Snapchat. Many of the controversies involving Snapchat revolve around the Snapchat lenses, which was a product that they were trying to roll out. Filters apply to users' faces before a snap is taken that alter their facial appearance in some way. Most lenses are fanciful, adding a unicorn or rainbow vomit or a ridiculous face, you know, animal morphs, all that kind of stuff. However, Snapchat had made some serious missteps by designing lenses that arguably play into the racial and sexist stereotypes, with Bob Marley filter, a Rosa Parks filter, an anime filter, you know, like Snapchat lenses. Not a bad move. Your execution of them, bad move. You know, these things become controversy in terms of, you know, another example of how they're questionable decisions. You know, let's just think about it. Recently, it was known that, like, when Snapchat rolled out one of their latest versions, it was much better and performant on an iPhone than it was an Android. And that was just a poor move for a company that's already competing. It's already made its mind that's not going to work with Facebook, so it's going to go its own way. It's not only that it's competing with all these big tech companies. Now that it has an IPO trying to make money and trying to incorporate features, which is taken away from the original user experience. But now they've made the mistake saying, hey, you know, we're just going to ignore more than half of our user base and their platform of Android, which is a bad move, in my opinion. You need all the users to talk all the great things about your phone, and Android being one of the most popular devices in the world, and you're not catering to them, that is a huge mistake for a company fighting an uphill battle. That, it just has questionable mistakes. The Snap Map, to me, was questionable. Snap Cash, which was another long list of features, like why are you getting into trying to handle transactions when there's other tools that do that really, really well? It's like, it doesn't make sense to me why Snapchat got involved. Which leads into point number 6. Snapchat's made up language. Every social media platform requires its own vocabulary. After all, Facebook introduced us to likes, Instagram popularized filters, but far beyond bringing the term Snap to the public, Snapchat has its own language that requires several weeks of immersion, and I mean a conversation with probably a 70-year-old kid to really get a grasp. So what's the difference between filters and lenses? What the heck is a Snap Map, a Snap Streak, a Snap Code? Dive a little further and you'll soon be faced with Bitmojis, trophies, memories, stickers, and spectacles. Snapchat assumes that you figure out all these terms on your own, making any conversation about the app a minefield of potential misunderstandings. It's supposed to be easy. It's supposed to be understandable. You can have some terminology, but they have too much. Which, now, if you've heard all my points, you're probably at a point where you're like, man, how do I delete Snapchat? Well, I had to learn this the hard way, and this was another reason why I wanted to get off of Snapchat. So let's say I convince you, Snapchat's a confusing platform without a point and you don't want to use it anymore. Well, guess it's time to simply delete your account, right? Well, good luck with that. Getting rid of your account is another one of Snapchat's problems. If you want to delete your Snapchat account, you're going to have to go through a process. Your account can only be deleted from a web browser, not from an iOS or Android app. And there's a 30-day waiting period before your app will be completely gone. Yep. So if you want to delete, you have to pretty much delete on the computer, which means you have to know your username and password. And now in 2019, if you have Face ID or Touch ID, you don't remember them. You got to remember them. But you have to go onto a web browser, log in, delete, and ask her, and then you have to wait 30 days. And I just thought that was so interesting. You know, do Snapchat problems spell the end? I mean, I can't predict the future, guys, but, like, we have seen, reports have shown, you know, their quarterly reportings, they've seen a steady decline in users. You know, when the company IPO'd, it was one of those hot tech IPOs. Now people are kind of like, I don't know. Like, right now, my personal opinion, I think Snapchat is moving more towards, like, the movie pass direction versus the Facebook direction. Because if I remember correctly, and I'm going to pull this up. When they IPO'd, I want to say they're around $25. You fast forward to 2019, and they are now $7 a share. And there's no signs right now why it's going to go up. Now, again, it's a tech company, and anything can change. They could change something tomorrow, and it changes the way millennials view Snapchat, and who knows, becomes the app of the future. But I just wanted to talk about some of the things I think they do very, very wrong. And I hope you enjoyed today's episode, because you got really my opinion, my feedback, my thoughts on an app that did something very well and never really found its usefulness. And I think for anybody who's creating an app today, or you have an idea, think about how useful your idea and app can be. Think about what it's solving, what it's doing. Because I think one of the reasons Snapchat is in this kind of a decline, this fumble state, is it's trying to identify what it is and what its usefulness is. And in a world where usefulness is everything, Snapchat right now is nothing. Hope you enjoyed today's episode, guys. I'm out. Peace.